Hallelujah. Acts chapter 5, verse 17 is where we will pick up, but I will back up before we get too much further, till we get in there. Can I pray though first? Dear Father, I just want to thank you for the glorious provision of Jesus Christ, to which we are now forever dependent, submitted, resourced, in pursuit, expectant, to discover more and more and more of who you are and live in the oneness and the union that you've given us. Oh, Heavenly Father, in this hour in which you are revealing Christ in your church like we have not known in our generation, to pour out your spirit upon your body so that our sons and daughters prophesy and our young men see visions and our old men dream dreams. And on your men servants and handmaidens, you pour out your spirit till they prophesy, till there's a beautiful, glorious sound of the resurrection of Jesus Christ heard and seen everywhere. To that we set ourselves, to resubmit ourselves, to hear again the glorious gospel, to have it affect us, as you've made such a clear point today in worship, to let you affect us so we can respond in the response of having been impacted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where's Petey? Petey gone? Oh, okay. Too bad. All right. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to start in Acts chapter 2. Oh, Petey, I got your socks on. I wanted to tell you that. That's the other side of the wave. See the wave? I got the socks and the shirt. All right. Shirt on from Jordan. I'm sorry, when you get in the Holy Spirit, you're either going to get really funny, you're going to kind of get distracted with the humor of God, or you get too serious, and right now he's not serious. He wants to have a little bit of fun with us. I hope that's okay. I have to evangelize my heart every day. I do. I don't know about you, but I have to evangelize my heart, bring my heart back into an encounter, be impacted, be impressed, be overwhelmed. I have to submit my soul to him every single day. Sometimes it's easy because it's a joyful moment. Everything's well. It's easy. Sometimes it's awful because there's just so much I want to change and control. And the answer then usually is just deny yourself for a moment. Pick up your cross. Just keep following me. Just let's not deal with this. Let's keep going. I got something I want to take you. And that's difficult. But over the course of a few minutes, hours, I find that Jesus is all sufficient. The cross has no burden. And the denial seems to have disappeared. And I'm into light again. But you see, it's my heart, my soul, evangelizing, giving myself room. The book of Acts, I believe, is so important for me because it is returning us to some of the gold standards of the church's origin as we prepare for the church's completion. In the book of Ephesians, we are referred to in the book as the body of Christ, to which he is the head. We are his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We're also referred to as a temple or a habitation for God and the Spirit, to which he is the chief cornerstone. We're also referred to as a family, to which he is the elder brother, to which whom we are all being conformed into his likeness. And he's also referred to as the bridegroom, to which we are the bride, and we are growing up into his likeness, without spot, holy, without blame, fully complete, matured, into his likeness. So this process of being found, discovered, unlocked, delivered, saved, is a journey that just keeps increasing in influence till eventually we will look like Jesus inside of Christ, never apart from Christ. There's never, you know, try being Jesus without Jesus. You ever ever tried to do that? Oh, gosh, you want to be a fool. Because you will use your will to the point it breaks, and you'll use your emotions till you get obnoxious, and your intellect will just go tweet at some point. But if we are influenced by Jesus and we become acting like him, and people go, that person was with Jesus. So that's the beautiful thing. So in the when the New Testament is birthed, when the book of Acts begins, Jesus says, okay, you guys, I am who I am. I am who I say I am. I'm raised from the dead. Check the scars. I've been with you. We've been talking out this whole kingdom thing. And yet, I'm telling you one thing. Don't do anything until you receive the Holy Spirit, because you can't, even though you know that you know that you know that you know that you really do know I am the Lord and the Christ. Nobody's going to listen to you. You have no power to overcome the society, the culture you're living in, the religion, the world that you're having to, I'm going to send you into. So you're going to need the Holy Spirit. And so they wait. 10 days go by. And then, and they are full of the Holy Spirit, and they are free from their self-consciousness, and they are acting like drunk people on a happy hour, talking, laughing, speaking in other tongues, and people are wondering what in the world's going on. And so they get up and they declare what I prayed a moment ago out of Joel. This is that which the prophet Joel said, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your young men will see, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, old men dream dreams. And he explains the Holy Spirit phenomenon, and then he goes right into the reason Holy Spirit's here is Jesus Christ. And from that point on, it's always Jesus Christ. We either preach Jesus or teach Jesus. We preach Jesus to the unevangelized, and we teach Jesus to those who are submitted. Those who are yielding to Jesus want to grasp more of who he is. Those who are yet to discover Jesus need to hear that he is Lord, and he is indeed come, and this is what he's accomplished. I need to be evangelized. I need to be, you know, I'm saved, and I'm being saved, and I'm going to be saved. I'm continually having a greater experience and I'm looking for it. So I'm in on both. I sometimes need to preach to me, and sometimes I just need to talk to me. So once he gets into this message, he starts telling everybody about Jesus. And it says, verse 24, chapter 2, God raised him from the dead and loosed him from the pains of death, because it was impossible that he should be held by it. And 3,000 people become into faith in this resurrected Christ. I love these two verses, verse 32. This Jesus, the resurrected Christ, this Jesus, God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the promise the Father, promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. So there, this glorious coronation, this glorious appointment, this glorious, the head is received, now the body is filled. For this David did not ascend to heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Always remember, when you pray, that's where Jesus is. And that's when you come, when we come to appear before God, we're appearing in Christ. Christ is over us. We come to God through Christ. We don't show up without Christ. You don't even get an audience. So that's why sometimes prayer gets so frustrating, because we're praying out of our righteousness and our efforts and all that we've done. When we need to just pray out of what he has done and out of his name and from him. But he said, you stay there till I make your enemies a footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now the message to the rest of the New Testament, which I want to keep fresh in my mind, is I crucified him, God raised him from the dead. My sin put you on the cross. I would have been the one to shout, crucify him. Oh, I don't care who I am today, but I would have been that person under the same duress and under the same pressure and under the same religious jargon. Because all men crucified him. And this will become a very big conflict and a very liberating moment. If you can surrender to the fact that you are no better than anyone in the world, and you would be the person you hate the most, despise the most, you would be, but for the grace of God, there go I. And then we realize the gift of Jesus is for all, and his power, it can reach everyone. And I am, and we can all be, the chief of sinners. As Paul, you know, declared over himself, that so that the forbearance and the testimony of God's long-suffering could be seen in my life. So chapter 3 comes along, and the man is healed at the gate, beautiful. And there's an excitement, and yet immediately Peter is saying, why are you looking at us? Why are you amazed at this? It's the name of Jesus that just did this, not our power and not our godliness. It was the name of Jesus, faith in his name. It's the faith that comes through him that's made him perfectly whole and complete. And then he goes on and he says right away, after he said that, or he said, you denied the Holy One, verse 14, and the just, chapter 3. And you ask for a murderer to be granted for you. This is not kind evangelism. But trust me, sometimes my heart needs to hear that. So I can hear the good news by accepting the situation that it's not God's fault. I'm not here because people have been bad to me. I'm here because I'm just me. And I just need the answer being Jesus. So he goes on, though, he says, yet now, brethren, I know, verse 15, and you killed the Prince of Life whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. You killed, God raised from the dead. Your sins, his justification. He became your sin. When he was justified, we were justified. He was raised from the dead. So once we shift from, I put you there, then we can let God lift us up to where he is. And our relationship in our mind's eye and in our heart and in our prayer time is to be seated with Christ in heavenly places. So we are not praying from the place of conflict, even though we are in the conflict. Make no mistake, we feel what was happening, but we come up to agree with what has been done and try to commune with the Lord in his victory and his place of breakthrough. So what happens is they're arrested. So this is now the second time they are going to, really the first time for themselves, Peter and John, to stand before the Sanhedrin, but they were witnesses of Jesus's trial, and they've succumbed to the intimidation before themselves and been scattered. But all of a sudden, Peter and John are standing in front of the Sanhedrin, chapter 4, and it says, verse 7, we want to know something. By what power or by what name have you done this? So they're going after, you know, where are you getting, how you operate, where is this coming from? And he said, well, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. If Peter hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter had acted just like he acted the night of Jesus' trial. Peter was never a better person. He might have learned to submit better, but he never was a better person by himself. And it's proof, because in chapter 2 of Galatians, Paul had to rebuke him publicly for being a hypocrite, because he got afraid of just some law-abiding Jewish believers that he withdrew from eating Gentile burgers. He wouldn't eat with the cheese and the meat. And he was a hypocrite. Why? Because he was afraid. He has a capacity to fear just as he had on the night of his betrayal. Nothing had ever changed. See, have you ever noticed that you really are the same person that got saved? Yeah. I mean, take a moment, just one day, look, if I didn't have the influence of Jesus and the desire to follow him, what would I go do? You just go do what you were doing before you met him, right? You probably would just succumb to the fears or pursue the lust or do whatever. And that's a sobering thing again, because then you don't have to put the pressure on you. I just need to stay with you, Jesus. Jesus, please, you know who I am, so I want to stay as close as I can to you, because you don't really want me messing everything up again. But I will mess everything up, so I'm just going to trust you to clean up my messes and stay close. And that's kind of that dependency that we grow in. I love it personally, because it took a lot of pressure off of me trying to be holy. And I just try to follow. Now all I do is try to follow him in the moment. So the good news is that they hear this, and he keeps going. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. So we can have a company of people filled with the Holy Spirit, and we can have an individual in a moment filled with the Holy Spirit. This is like an activation. This is an empowering. This is a overwhelming. This is like it's coming upon him. This is something he didn't have before he stood before them, but now that they're asking the question, he's being filled, and he says, if this day we are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by which means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, there it goes again. You did it. You got it. If you didn't put Jesus on the cross, then you can't get saved effectively. If your sins weren't dealt with on the cross, then you can't rise with them. And if you don't have enough sin to put them on the cross, then you don't need them. See, it's a funky thing, but the religion, that self-righteousness stuff, it just gets in there and subtly moves us from being evangelized by the glorious Jesus. But he says, you did it. You did it. Let it be known that the name of Jesus, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, whom God raised from the dead, this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor, listen to this, because this is, I'm wanting to just review this because it frames our message. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with him, they could say nothing against him. He was over 40 years old, never walked a day in his life. And now he was standing there fully empowered again and made whole. So they commanded him. They put outside, they talked about it, and then they make this little statement to him. Verse 18, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. See, I'm reading this 2,000 years later, and I'm trying to understand what was happening in the dynamic of the church's explosive birth. What was causing it? And I see Holy Spirit, and I see Jesus. I see the all that Jesus has accomplished is now vested in his name. And if you start teaching in the name of Jesus, you're starting to teach Jesus and everything he's accomplished. And this is the threat to all the religious people that are sensing, we're trying to stop this message from finding a way out, a way up. So I see that. And they are telling them, don't. We don't care if you teach anything you want, just don't teach the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. But we'll leave that to you, because we're not going to try to get legally in a funk with you. We got to follow the Lord, because he says, for we cannot, and I want to be this person. I just want to be this person until the last breath I breathe. I cannot but speak the things which I have seen and heard. See, that's why when we come into worship, we want to really have an experience in worship. When we come to the Word, we want to have an experience in the Word. When we go to pray, we want to have an experience with God in the presence, in Jesus, in the Holy of Holies, and grow up, because every time we see and hear, our testimony of Jesus Christ grows. The testimony of Jesus Christ is not just the functional things he did to fix our life. More importantly, the testimony of Jesus according to John 3 is what we see and hear. And I could teach a whole message on that, but you can study it yourself. It's the testimony of Jesus, what you see and hear of him, the impact that he's going. So we can only talk about what we see and hear. So they threatened him more, and they said, you got to just go. So they get together, and they pray Psalm 2. They ask God to give them more boldness. Here's the problem with our life, and I've lived this too many times. I can either keep going forward, or I can start going backwards, but I can't stand still. I can either keep going forward or I can start going backwards, but I can't stand still. There's moments to stand in where I'm going forward in, but there's other times and more times than I wish to recount, I capitulate. I go, no. I don't know. I just don't know. And because I know that boldness is not obnoxiousness and it's not zeal that's just driven with, self-righteousness. Most of the time, the learning curve is for my sake. It's like God's not counting on the kingdom that I do a good message every Sunday or any day. He's actually counting on me failing enough in my attempt to be Jesus till finally one day I submit completely to Jesus and let Jesus be everything for me in everything I'm in. And that is excruciatingly hard. Because I have to deny myself when self wants to rise. I have to pick up my cross, whatever that is that I'm going through, and go follow Jesus anyway. Until the cross becomes a yoke that frees me, and the denial becomes a delight that frees me. It's just so. So they threatened him, and they pray, and they said, we need more boldness, and we need you to get more involved. Father, stretch out your hands, even just stretch them out, and signs and wonders be done in the name of the Holy Servant, Jesus. And so in verse 31, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. Holy Spirit coming into our midst empowers us to witness, to decree, to declare, to signs and wonders, miracles, and it's all part of the empowerment that I'm longing for. And it's not my life. My life is in secret in Christ. I drink from the fountain of water freely with joy. I partake, and I can't actually help you from my own life. That's my life that I have to steward, my oil that I have to have enough so I can trim my lamp and respond to the Lord when he comes. And I have that. To do the work that we're called to do, we really need the Holy Spirit. Anybody looked around lately? I mean, he's coming and he is going to so awaken hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I'm almost done. So they just go into a phenomenal upgrade. They went, they're like, we're talking shadow, overshadowing empowerment, that the glory that Peter knew in the on the Mount of Transfiguration now resting on him, and people get within the distance of his shadow and the overshadowing of the glory that was on Peter, they'd be healed. People brought him from all the cities surrounding Jerusalem, placed him on in the streets just so that Peter could get close. Everybody's getting healed, the multitudes are growing, and now this time they're really upset. And we're now up to chapter 5, verse 17. The high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. Sadducees don't believe in resurrection. They don't believe in angels. They're liberals. But that's no better than being a Pharisee that are conservatives. They're just all, they believe in all that, but they're so self-righteous, they have no life. So I don't want to be a Pharisee because it ain't fair, you see. I don't want to be a Sadducee. You know why Sadducees are Sadducee? They don't believe in the resurrection. I just want to be a sheep. I know that's corny, but that's Sunday school. That song will go well. We got to get that for VBS. People will enjoy that. That's a fun one. But in any case, so they say they were indignant. Now, just real quick, because we're going to do two things to close today. One is we're going to receive another offering. So, Ed, can you, Brian, whoever, coordinate that? Because we're going to pass it out. And this offering, this is Nation Sunday. So on the first of the Sundays, we used to take two offerings every first Sunday of the month. But then when our services got kind of integrated into three different ones, it seemed too cumbersome. So we've just kind of said to everyone, please sow into nations, sow into the people that are going to nations. But today I want us to sow intentionally to an opportunity that's being presented to San Fernando Valley through Wes Munyon and the ministry team that he has, and the Fellowship of Student Athletes that have access to all the high schools in the San Fernando Valley. And on October 19th, they are having a stadium event called the Field of Faith, which they are going to present the gospel to having invited all of the teenagers and middle schools and high schools throughout all the San Fernando Valley to come and hear and celebrate and receive and be saved, set free. It's going to be awesome. But they need, it's about a $30,000 ticket to pull it off. You're about $50,000 to do it. How short are you? Oh, 15,000, 30,000 total, 15,000 away. Because he's working with the San Fernando Valley Pastors and Network, and they have, like I would do the same thing, they said, listen, we're in, But we need the money in before we go commit to these things, that if we sign our name on them, then somebody's going to have to pay for them. So let's do this. And they set this up this whole year. Let's believe for the 30,000 to come in by August 1st. And if it doesn't, we'll just postpone it. So that, I believe, is an opportunity for us here in Ventura County and to sow into San Fernando Valley and to do so to help see that amount of that money be raised. Now, whether we are going to do it all together, maybe so, or maybe there's going to be other churches. But would you, can I pray over that and we'll just kind of pass that? I just think that there's something that there's faith to ask for a lot of the things. We're also going to get involved in helping a Dream Fest, reaching out to the Mestizo Indians, which are indigenous from Mexico that are in our county that do a lot of the farm work, and reaching out to touch their lives. And we've got a friend who's reaching out into Iraq to all of the refugees and who have been, were swept away by ISIS, put into slave trade and married away, beaten. And Lisa Miara has this incredible outreach going, and they had a fire go through their tent because it's like 120 degrees. And we want to get some fire extinguishers, mobile fire extinguishers to help, respond to that. They're 250 a pop. So there's so much, but that's why God has to make us wealthy, so we can respond to all these good things. But Father, I just want to thank you. I know this is kind of funky, but Lord, we are a people that carry nations because you gave us the call to be a house of prayer for all nations. Nations are neighborhoods, they're indigenous people, they're ethnos, they're ethnic groups. And we just ask that today, we want to just declare that we could sow and you would cause the field of faith, fields of faith, to be an event that can happen, and that you would unlock the next $15,000 to secure everything that has to be secured. Do it, Father, for the glory of Jesus Christ. Let the preaching of Christ go so forward, so powerfully, that thousands will give their life to Jesus. We bless you. We believe you for this, and we pray for this to be the fruit of our giving, as well as that it will come upward into the northern part of the county, into Ventura County, into Santa Barbara County, go back down to Orange County, and all the way to San Diego County, as you sweep across the greatest outpouring of your Spirit in Southern California in the history of the world. That's what we're believing for. And that's what we're sowing into right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So they'll go ahead, and the ushers go ahead and pass the buckets as you have. So catch this. They're in prison. They pick them up. They put them in jail. Ventura County Jail. Los Angeles County Jail. Doesn't matter. It was as good a jail as the ones we have. Middle of the night, early in the morning, we don't know. Angel shows up. Says, get out of here. Let's go. I want you to get back in the temple. I want you to preach life. Preach the words, all the words of life. We don't know how they got out. Could have stepped into another dimension. I mean, I like sci-fi, so they could have just... That's interesting. But all we know is that when it came the morning, they were in the temple, and they're declaring Jesus Christ as Lord and life and healing and helping. And the Sadducees get all the people together. We're going to have this kind of, we're going to sort this stuff out now. And they send the lieutenant, to the leader of the armed, the temple guard, go get those guys, bring them over here. So they show up. We're here to collect... It says the apostles. So let's just say it's all 12 of them. We don't know. We're here to get the gang. Sure, no problem. Let me sign off. Okay, no, it's all there. It's perfect. Okay, open the door, click it, scan it. Nobody's there. I've been meditating on that because I believe we're going to see those kinds of miraculous deliverances and interventions, and just like we're going to see translations where we lift up, we're here doing one thing and then somewhere else doing another thing. I believe everything in the Bible that's ever happened is going to happen again in a bigger way. So I have to let my imagination get there. I've got to see that. I mean, if it was in a movie, you'd want that part, wouldn't you? That's the action part. That's the So there. So the guards come back and go, you're not going to believe it. We got there. Everything is exactly the way it is. We checked the video monitors. And all of a sudden, the light burnt the whole thing. We don't know what's happened. They're not there. And about that time, they're going, you'd think somebody would be going, maybe there is angels. So they get a message from someone else. Hey, these guys, the same group, the 12 you got, they're in the temple right over there. They're preaching over at Solomon's court. So they go, send the guards. They bring them back gently. Says not violently, because they didn't want to be stoned. This is an influencing power that's now taking over the entire Jerusalem, and it's growing. And this one group's frightened, and they bring them in, and they set them in their midst, and they said, did we not, verse 28, did we not, chapter 5, verse 28, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? See, something about the name of Jesus. Something about the authority that his name carries. Something about the name represents all he has accomplished. And it's this name. And look, you filled the Jerusalem with your doctrine. And you intend to bring this man's blood on us. See, they weren't accepting that they put Jesus on the cross. They could have said, yeah, we were the ones. But now we're the ones that are being saved. But so they're in this conflict. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Now, we got 3 minutes and I'll send you home, but this is worth your taking concordance to. This word obey is not the word we always find, the one I love so much in growing up my faith in Christ. The normal word for obey is to hear under, to listen, to hearken, to submit myself to a higher authority of life, truth, the whole living word of God in the midst of where I am, just to be, okay, you say I'm loved, I feel unloved. I'm gonna go with I'm loved. You say I'm healed, I don't feel healed, I'm going to go with I'm healed. You say that I can shout praise because I am welcomed in the heavens, even though I'm being rejected by men, I'm going to go with shouting praise and dancing. That's what obedience, that's the learning obedience that we're learning. This one is not. This is the word persuasion. This is the word that is probably really the fruit of obedience, the practicing of hearing under. There comes a time when you become fully persuaded. It's a powerful word. Paul used it in Acts 26 when he shares the vision of his conversion, and he says to King Agrippa, I have not been disobedient to this heavenly vision. This encounter, I have allowed it to continually influence me to this day, which is what we're always wanting at the moment of touching God, is to be re-influenced. So he said, we ought to be persuaded by God more than you. We need to be, we're here. Are you hearing me? To be persuaded by God. I can't persuade you. You can't persuade you. But if we are persuaded by God, then men lose their voice over us. They lose their control over us. And it doesn't matter if we're being held in somebody's prison, we're still not their prisoner. We have to follow, we allow the influence of God to influence us rather than your influence. And the God of our fathers, and here they go. I mean, you'd think they'd get a new message. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus whom you murdered. There it is again. Same old message. I think it's an important message. It's an important message. And him God also has exalted, because it expands. He exalted him. He exalted him to his right hand. This is where Jesus lives now. He dwells in my heart by faith, but this is where he is, his permanent residence is at this moment till he returns. Right hand, to be prince and savior, and to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. This is Jesus. We can receive this repentance. We can receive this forgiveness of sins. We can live in this ongoing continuum. And we are his witnesses to these things. As so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those whom he has persuaded. Same word for obey. Whom he has influence on. Whom he has the ability to move them, who will yield to him, who have become convinced of him. And when they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill him. This is all happening, and I got to close. I'm so sorry, but there's so much good stuff. This is all happening in the course of maybe 1 year from the Pentecost, or two, at the largest five, but I would probably go with 1 to 2 years by the way this thing is ramping up. Next service is going to really ramp up. So then one of the council stood, said, hey, guys, let's put the apostles out. I want to have a conversation. Well-respected man, Gamaliel, he says, listen, if this is God, we can't fight against it. And if it's not God, we don't have to worry about it. It's just going to come to naught. So why don't we just cool the jets, relax a little bit. And so they said, yeah, that's good advice. So they brought him back in and they told him, don't preach in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to close with that. So they agreed. They beat him, put a little more pressure on them, verse 40. That they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Whew. That, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit for that. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease to teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm asking you for myself. And for everyone listening and whoever will listen, would you help us again to be evangelized fully by the glorious work of Jesus Christ? All sufficient, complete, finished, delivering, saving, healing. It was my sins, my stubbornness, my fear, my willfulness. I put you on the cross. I murdered you. But God raised you, Jesus, from the dead. You are raised from the dead, and you are now seated at the right hand of God, my Father, because of you. You make intercession. You are my prince. You are my high priest. You're my savior, my deliverer. I humble myself and praise you for what you've accomplished. You alone have all authority. All authority is in you. You are the all in all. All things will yield to you, submit to you, and be fully yours before it's done. I submit myself fully to you as much as I know how and as much as I can. And Jesus, I ask that you would, because of your great victory and because it is so expedient that you left the planet, that, Father, I ask in Jesus' name you fill us with the Holy Spirit for the purpose of proclaiming the proclamation of Christ Jesus, that signs and wonders and miracles and all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to your will, break forth in our life, on our trips to the grocery store, to our messages, to our meetings, to our moments. God, help us with the whatever and everything that's intimidating us at this present moment, telling us, be quiet, don't use the name. He's not that one. Diverting our attention to other things. God, help us. Pour out your Spirit. Help us in the prayer of the nations. Help us in what you're doing in this moment we're in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Thank you.